34 a.m. so that all board members are present. And let's move on. We've got first order, the agenda is public comment, no public here. So move to the first tab of the book, meeting minutes from November 27th. Board meeting. I had a comment, I think, a couple places, I guess. And as usual, we always comment on our own.
Because we're sure what we said.
Yeah. So first paragraph under tab two. Second to last line in that first paragraph, it says, he requests scoring whether he wins or loses to get an idea of how he can improve, not upgrade. Anyway, small deal. And I don't know that it matters on the second page. I won't comment on it, I guess it's a little bit out of context, but I think, you know, we gotta expect that they might request these board meeting minutes. And so we want to make sure that what we've said about them is something that we're okay with them reading.
Yeah.
What did I say?
I didn't find anything very offensive there. I think it was on, well, just, it said on that FTP Keller, one place he caught was page nine. You didn't have an introduction in the paragraph who he is. And I don't want to be a grammar, the English teacher, but I think that was me. So you might say one place the chair caught. But all in all, I think it was fair what we said about him right now. Some of them might grab these notes. Any other comments to them?
I'm not, could you clarify exactly what you want changed?
He just wants.
On which?
On, under FTG Keller.
He just wants.
Third sentence, it says, one place he caught was on page nine, but it doesn't tell you who he is. So I thought it should say one place the chair caught, or the chair mentioned, or something like that. So we know who he is.
I'll move that we accept the minutes as amended.
I'll second that.
Moved and seconded to accept the November 27th board meeting minutes as amended. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Oh, I'm staying.
Staying, okay. All right, so that passes. Let's move to tab two, scoring of the written. So this is, thanks for the minutes. You know, I don't know that we need to approve this or do this.
It's just information.
Again, they might want to, you said you sent this to them when you.
Already sent it to them, yeah.
So was there any concern about why scores number one and five didn't score Kern McLeod and Corby?
Why what?
Well, scores one and five didn't enter a score for.
No, nobody said anything. I just said that, I think John took his with him, so I didn't have those.
No, I gave you my scores.
Okay.
At any rate, I.
And Brian wasn't into it before then, so that's why he didn't score those two. He's.
If they come back and complain about it, the fact is we had three out of five people scoring them, so we felt that that was actionable and enough information. Because they could come back and say, well, they're not 100%. I doubt that. Okay, and then interview recommendation. It was tough. Tough to be on the other side of that. It was, they were all three really good. And all three had people, individuals on their team that we really benefited from working with, I think. Right, and that was, that's what made it hard. I mean, if we could pick an all-star team and mix and match from the three, we'd have a great team. But I think we all felt that the first group was the best one. That was RH2. They came with, what, five people? And we limited it to five.
They put a lot of effort into it.
A whole lot of effort into it.
From a distance, too.
Yeah, they were really well prepared. They had some boards, a really nice PowerPoint that they had printed out that was really responsive to our questions, and restated our question and gave their answer, and then some other information behind it for each one of them. None of the other two did that, so it was a polished presentation. Dennis Kessler was really good. He's there. He's the former City of Portland guy that Larry knows well and respects. He was kind of interesting because he kind of quietly sit there, let the other folks that were all younger than him kind of spit up their tops a little bit, and he would kind of sit back and give us the rest of the real answers he'd like, you know. He was a pretty smart guy. But the other guy, Kyle, I think was polished. He's younger. He doesn't seem like he has the experience, but those two are going to be our main guys, I guess, Kyle and Dennis. And Kyle's, he led the presentation. He kind of was the narrator, and I think he did well. He was a qualified guy. He had some good ideas. He could summarize things really well and kind of explain it to us. So I thought he was pretty good. Their geotech, I thought, was really good.
Yeah.
It was really sharp. So, overall, they had a structural guy who was also kind of quiet, but he was really good too. So,
Is there anything about the...
asked the questions that the committee wanted me to ask. I sent them all around to you. I don't know if you saw them. Mm-hmm. But Dennis says he'll be around for quite a while. He doesn't intend to quit working. And, you know, what he likes is every so often he gets a month off doing something. You know, they kind of work with him as far as getting him time he wants. The life cycle costing of having the reservoirs, yeah, they can do it, but they feel that they're going to go into the process and make sure that, that it's a kind of a last-ditch effort to go to doing a new one rather than doing what we have planned on the rehab.
Yeah, I'm moving back up on that, I guess, a little bit, but let's summarize the three of them. That was for any other comments to Arch to.
No, I thought they were really, really solid, and you could tell they really made an effort, and it worked well in terms of all of the complex issues we brought up.
Yeah.
They were all very comfortable with the.
They were really put a lot of discussion and kind of effort into doing some analysis on Reservoir 3 and what we should do around it, and the corrosion and dealing with the base and structural elements mm-hmm. to it. They were well prepared. That was the first group. Second group was Pace. What's the guy's name?
Jim.
Jim, thank you. Was the lead guy. They're up on Meadows, owned by a company. They got bought a few years ago by a Kirkland, Washington-based company. Jim's good. He's on top of this stuff.
Good.
He's an older guy. They had two older guys. Their structural guy was also an old guy, member of the firm. And then they brought a geotech. All three of them were nervous, I think. They weren't really as polished as the first group. They had some good ideas. DJ got a bonus question to them at the end, which is basically, when should we be worried enough to open our inner ties? You know, what's our trigger?
Inner ties.
And this is their answer, which their graphics were good.
And they thought ahead of that and did a beautiful graphic.
Yeah. And when did you ask him that question, DJ? Like the day before, right? Mm-hmm.
No. When was it? I don't remember now. It might not have been just a couple days, though, because
he whipped this out pretty. But yeah. They all basically.
Well, and Dennis did too in his head. Yeah. You know, I mean, he basically.
Mm-hmm. So they all basically.
So they kind of agreed to what level.
Yeah, they gave the same answer. Mm-hmm. This one was good. I thought the last guys had a really good graphic for it too, though.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. it's cool that they went to trouble.
And this type of thing is that it'd be helpful to share it with Lake Oswego when we're talking about the inner tie and testing it, and so that they have clarity, as well as the Lake Oswego Fire Department and the Tualatin Valley Fire Department, so they know that we know that critical period.
So the second group, I think we all sort of agreed that their biggest benefit was
location.
location and sort of connection. My best analogy was they're a little bit more like Don Murray. The first group was a little bit more like MSA. I mean, he would be, Jim would be kind of closer, quiet, probably cheaper, sort of a little bit more like Don. So that was kind of our settlement. And then the third group was a joint venture between Furwood Design and
Keller
Associates. Keller is out of Boise, Idaho. Mr. Keller was there, and he was really good. So that, you know, after coming out of the first two, we had lunch, so we figured the first one beat the second one by a little bit. And then the third one comes in, and we're like, holy cow, these guys are really good too.
Yeah.
So they were, some elements in their presentation, I think, was the best we had. But they were, number one, this joint venture, so we kind of couldn't tell who was on first. Mm-hmm. Number two, the guy that they pitched as the lead was from Furwood, and he was really laid back, almost too laid back. Seems like a nice guy, but he was probably the least impressive of all the people that we had there, and he was going to be our lead guy. So that kind of, so while they were really good, they're just doing this project, part of the Tualatin Valley Water District new transmission line. So it's up on Grabhorn,
there's
a big reservoir where they had to carve back a hillside, similar stuff to what we have issues in. The two guys that were working on that together were really good.
Really
good ideas, really good problem solvers, it seemed like. And so they were, I was really impressed with those two guys. Mm-hmm. But the lead guy was not very impressive. So, Eric, who was stalling.
Do you want me to say anything I've learned about references and
So let's hear about it. So that's okay. That's my summary of three. And you've added a little bit. Anything else to add, Sherry?
Number one, the whole process of looking for an engineer. I think DJ has just done an amazing job on the preparation and the detail, and it's been a really valuable learning experience to see what's out there and how different people respond. So you could tell some people really wanted that business a lot more, and we're fairly small compared to what's out there.
So you talked a lot about what they were saying, about the storage and a big project. What was your feelings in terms of just day-to-day troubleshooting issues if we needed something? Who would,
So I think Dennis Kessler rises above the rest of them just because of his experience level. And that was our question after DJ summarized that email. We really want to know how much of Dennis are we really going to get. Is he going to be one of the main guys, or is he just going to be in the background and bring him out every once in a while? So it sounds like we're going to get better access to Dennis. Mm-hmm. And the other guy was decent, but Dennis was probably the best of all the three of them. Jim was a good, the lead on the second one. He was very good too. I mean, he would, like I said, he'd be a little more plugged in, I think, to us. Mm-hmm. I just don't know that he's the most experienced problem solver. He just didn't seem like he was as sharp as the rest of the guys, in my opinion.
No, I found him very sharp.
Yeah. I mean, he was sharp, but as far as...
I think he would be very good.
He had some practical ideas, like running the, not just testing the generators, but running them totally on the system at least once a year and some stuff like that, which was good. And I just know about him. He's a good guy. And a lot of people think he's down to earth. I told him we saw him Friday at the AWWA Christmas party, and I said, "You were a bit nervous." And he says, "Yes, I hate those presentations, So
he did pretty well. He was quite nervous at the start. He warmed up, I think, a little bit.
He
was definitely a practical, no BS type of guy.
Yeah.
Which would get us to probably the lowest cost solution pretty much every time, I would think, because he knows.
The thing that I realized after is that the geoengineers is who we first had design the first wall. Now, I've been told by other geotech firms that it wouldn't have worked if we would have put it up there. So, I don't know. that was something I realized.
It wasn't that individual, though, I don't think, was it?
No. I think that other guy's gone from the firm that was here, so maybe he would, you know, refine it, whatever, but I know they've been involved with a lot of the work on it, so.
But the third guy, third group, answering your question, Jim, you know, would they could be good engineer of record type of people, and he might have been okay. Eric seems like he knows his stuff, but he was just almost too laid back and quiet. It's like, you know, can we get a little more out of you? He was really laid back.
Well, and I talked to the city of Gaston, who has him as a engineer, and the superintendent there says that he has to get on him to get things done. And I'm thinking, no. And that was one of the comments that, I mean, and I also, can I say prices or not?
You know prices?
I know prices from them. I never asked the firm. I don't know if we, he said.
Well, it shouldn't be a criteria or selection. That's really according to Larry, and I don't really know the legal behind it. We probably should have our lawyers.
Yeah.
There, but that's what.
When I asked him how much, he was like $120 an hour for Eric. And I forgot, they gave me another one for this CAD people below him. Anyway, that's the two things.
I changed my score, I'm kidding. Because I'm guessing Dennis and Kyle are billing.
Well, I don't have a, what do you call it, concrete number, because the guy I talked to is from Vashon Island in Washington, and he's no longer with the water system. He's doing something with either cell towers or lights or something like that. I can't remember, but he just by memory said he thought they were $300 an hour. So I don't know. That was just by memory. And
okay. That's pretty material.
So, and I talked to Furwood, I talked to them, and they said, you know, they've just done things with Keller before, so they teamed up with the two, and that I talked to the owner, she was on speakerphone too, you know, and I said, well, you know, you should have came too, and I would have said, go ahead and, you know, if you needed the others to bring the sixth person, and they said, yeah, we thought you might, but she said, we can do it however we want, as far as probably Fur would be the main contractor, and that Keller would be a sub of them. But they said it's kind of a joint venture between them. So that was the other question I was asked to find out.
So some more context on that, just for looking right there. Furwood is a woman-owned firm. The woman who owns it didn't show up. She really wanted to, and everything we've heard about her, she's pretty impressive, but we limited them to five people. So the only person they brought was that Eric, who's only got Furwood, right? The other guys were Keller, I think.
Yeah, the other guys were Keller, and then the geotech.
So we wanted to understand how the firm was awarded, right? I mean, is this partnership,
is it? What's the... Hey, Sean, can you speak up? I know I'll never hear this.
Partnership, and how, when you're using more than one term,
well, that's what I said. They said that probably her would be the primary, and Eric would be the primary, and Keller would be a subcontractor. But they also said, any way we wanted to do it, that's fine with them.
So one of the things that they showed is, as a, seemed like for them, they were saying this was a benefit, is that they, you know, Eric's out in Forest Grove, and what's the woman's name?
Kelly
is in Sandy, and their office is in Troutdale, and then the Keller guys are in wherever they're, Beaverton or something like that. So that they can come from any different angle. If there's an earthquake, if bridges are down or whatever, they can come and help us. And
I almost think that that's not a bonus, not a benefit, right? They're all over the place. They're not in one office working together. They're different firms. Yeah. I'm not sure that I really liked that, frankly. I think that played against them, not for them. I mean, I don't know.
Well, and my concern, too, is that they expect to be able to pass data around.
Yeah.
And after an earthquake, you're not going to be able to do that.
Right.
And you're not going to have cell phones.
Yeah.
It is possible to pass data around if you have a couple of hams.
Which one was it that said that they had, was it RH2 that had, every satellite office would have data in case one went down?
They have a backup. That was RH2. And plus, they said they had some satellite phones. Sherry asked that question of everybody. I think they're the only ones that said they have 3 satellite phones already. And none of the rest of them did. So, I don't know. It was pretty close in my mind between the Furwood Keller joint venture and RH2. I think as far as people, Furwood Keller might have some better people. But as far as responsiveness and, you know, cohesion and, you know, size of firm to have better resources, RH2 is better. And I think that's really more important to us. So I think really we came out of there with the idea that we should recommend RH2. I believe that was our consensus.
So you just a little bit ago you had a concern about, you know, should we even be talking about what fees are? To me, that's important. You know, our responsibility to the ratepayers are, you know, to get the best for the money that we can or whatever. Why couldn't we not check, you know, ask what their hourly rate is or whatever?
So this is coming from Larry, who is, I don't,
it's
I mean,
also
he,
coming
he's
from our attorney. You
okay,
can,
our attorney said the same.
You can ask him after you have picked the person.
It has to be skills-based.
It has to be
qualifications-based.
Well, if that's what he's saying, fine, but I can't believe that being in government all these years, rates are always an important thing when we're looking at things in terms of, you know, what's the state of Oregon going to pay. You know, this person may be so much better, but you're for the bang for the buck, you're getting almost the same service for half the price.
So. I agree. I think it's material. And so, you know, it doesn't work that way in my procurements. Insurance and risk management is not necessarily viewed the same way. I mean, it's, I think carved out of ORS 279, it's a different... There's specifics about engineers. We're a professional service firm as well, though, so we've signed the same professional services contract everybody else does, and I always have to pitch a fee or compensate. I have to explain my compensation, usually, so I don't know why it's different for design firms. But
they have a better lobbying from down in the state.
Yeah. And, you know, Larry's opinion, just on that subject, is that they're all within a, you know, narrow bandwidth. You got to pay your people, and so he said that there's not that much difference.
Well, they're in a narrow bandwidth. That's fine, you know. But $100, $120 versus $300 an hour. That's not a narrow bandwidth
it's
to me.
Yeah, well, me either. And that surprises me. So I guess we have to ask that question.
I thought we couldn't ask that question until we picked.
That's right.
Then if they're out of our price range, then we go to number 2.
Yeah.
That's how we have to do
okay,
that.
I see. So, okay, we can still, okay.
It's part of the decision-making process. But
you have to approach number 1 first and then negotiate a price. If you can't negotiate
okay,
price,
so we can still negotiate. Okay, gotcha.
Then we
I
have
feel
to go,
better about that.
Then you have to go to, what, option 2 if we can't get one.
In terms of what other firms or other water districts are paying, seem like you're able to get information from the Grab Point Water Project and look and
yeah,
see
I
what
didn't call
are.
Them. I didn't call them.
But that would be.
But I talked to one that actually has Herwood, or has Eric as a engineer, Gaston City.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I called a bunch, but they didn't get back to me on time.
Well, I'd be willing to say we go with your recommendation then and we see what they offer.
So what is our, you said it's got to be within our price, our range. Do we have a range?
We're paying Jim, as I told you, $205 now.
Okay.
For Jim.
My concern is, part of it's price, but the other concern too is, we have is an obligation, our core obligation, which is providing drinking water. And RH2 has proven they poorly understand the situation. So if we pay a little bit more and we end up getting a better or superior product, It's going to be worth the money.
Well, and the other side of that too, consulting fees I think are really interesting. When you have a better, more experienced, qualified person, it less takes hours. Them less time to help to advise you.
I was totally thinking that.
Even
too.
If the rate's higher, you're getting more efficient response, right? And if we have to go chase Eric all the time, it doesn't matter if his rate's low. He's, that's it. That's what the references say. That's not good. Okay. What else did you hear about RH2 and references? So you heard they were expensive. What else did you get?
Very good. Always very good. They had no complaints about the firm at all. Nothing. And Kyle was the one that worked with Lorna Vachon.
Okay. And they liked him.
Yeah.
So they could, we're paying a lot hourly rate, but if they're not making mistakes in getting the job done and get it done sooner, it may pay off.
Yep. I think they're pretty qualified. I mean, all three of these firms are highly qualified. I don't think we have an issue there. I just think it's kind of down to who we work with on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, that's the data.
And I think Dennis, to the extent we get access to him, was the leader of the pack.
I can't believe, I just called them asking those questions. I talked to Dennis, and I wrote notes down and everything. Yep. And then 9:30 at night, I get this email from their structural to clarify even further my questions that I talked to Dennis. Well, today I didn't have to do.
That says a lot about them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, they want it. They want the account, which is good. They're trying to grow in Portland, I think, right? I mean, they have an office here and they want to get bigger. They're down on McAdam. So they're not too far away.
Okay. Yeah, our district has a good reputation, so it wouldn't hurt their resume at all to somebody calling up DJ and saying, what do you think of these guys?
Yeah. I think, okay, so that means that is the recommendation of the selection committee is RH2. That means, I guess, the recommendation is that we enter into negotiations with them. Tell them that they're the, but then what? We come back in another board meeting? Or do we go through
really want to get it going before the first.
That's awfully quick.
Well, I know.
Yeah.
Well, we want to get them started on the, at least doing a scope of project task thing.
Do we have to actually physically meet, or can we do this by email?
Again, by email, if there's a quorum, it's a meeting.
We have to advertise it.
And getting time off between now and the end of the year is not going to happen.
We could do it on the phone, though. We could have a call-in meeting.
Mm-hmm. Could we have an email meeting? Could we announce a meeting?
Well, I guess you could, but I mean, why not just, say we're at whatever time works for us for 30 minutes, we all just call in.
That's the problem, is getting time for everybody this time of year is the hard part. If we could do it over email on our own time.
But I can do it from work. See, I can just call in.
Yeah, if you do that, you open your computer.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So, I have my own computer that I do this stuff on.
Yeah.
So,
I don't even mind doing it after work some night. Just
I can
calling.
Do after work.
Yeah. Calling, yeah. Or even coming in after work.
We have a Christmas potluck.
Well, so, from my perspective, if the $300 an hour is real for their lead, their principals, we need to know that, and then we need to reconsider that. I would be surprised, frankly, if they're billing that high.
Well, especially if Murray Smith is at 200.
Yeah. I'm guessing, if they're below 250, I think that's reasonably close. The cost of living.
Well, let's go there and find out. So
the other thing. Sorry to interrupt.
That's okay.
I was going to say, why don't we set a benchmark now? Say if they call in and say, hey, it's 300, and we'll say we want 250. Yeah. If you take 250, it's a done deal. We're
And again, picture a rate schedule for engineers. Senior engineer is going to be at the highest, or partner is going to be at the highest rate level, and then the senior engineer, then a associate engineer, then whatever. They'll have a rate schedule, and they'll have a support staff rate schedule that'll be $90 or something like that. So, blended rate depends. It will be below 300.
Yeah.
But the question is, what are their top guys bill at? And then the follow-on question is, how much work do you anticipate for the day? If the top guys bill at 300, but they never open a file because they're so... they're such big wigs, then it doesn't really matter, right?
If if peer review or something.
I would move that we offer our what was the word we were no, that's not open. We were
entering into negotiations
with RH2 Engineering.
Okay. I got a motion on the table.
Second.
Moved and seconded, we enter into negotiations with RH2 Engineering as our the winner of our qualifications process. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. So, and then I guess feedback after that with the negotiations. And then maybe we do we want to make a motion with a cap? I mean, or not?
No, I'd rather, well, let's see, you know, that's part of the negotiation. We can
see what their ranges are.
Well, I mean, we offer a cap, maybe they would offer lower.
But let's give DJ the opportunity to then negotate.
Oh, sure. Oh, sure. But yeah. Let's see it up front first. You know? Yeah. Who knows? Duh, we'll give you. You were paying $205. We'll only take $225.
Well, why don't can you maybe just advise the selection committee members?
Okay.
And because that's not a board quorum and purpose, and then if we will. Okay with us.
I think that's great.
DJ from there, and then if Sherry and I think there's a reason to pull the fire alarm, we'll pull the fire alarm. But in absence of that reason, we'll work as a selection committee, and yeah. DJ can then she's authorized to make the award. I think.
I'm totally comfortable with that.
Okay, good. I like it. There's a lot of work, DJ. Thank you for doing all that.
Thank you all.
I think we've got a good result. Okay, so that's tab 3 and 4. Let's move into tab 5, district report.
Okay. Of course, North Star wants their final payment of everything. And I have been trying to get a hold of our attorney, but Jim sent me the deductive change order, and I cannot at this point. I'm going to pull up above him and see what's going on. But, they can wait. We tried emailing them all the time and they wouldn't get back to us. So, the audit's complete. We'll look at that. And Dennis is supposed to, or I'm supposed to call him at 8:30. So, he'll talk more about it. The hydrant and canal was not raised, which we tried to start out doing that anyway, having a new one put in there. But it was, they couldn't get it unfroze, so it ended up being, and they broke it in the process to the point where you couldn't change it. So we had to put a new hydrant in. That's how it's been left, so it needs some fill around it.
Kinda.
But is that high enough then?
Oh, yeah, that's high enough. That
could be a water feature. You could put a pond around it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were going to share the cost 50-50, and it was like $900. Well, a new hydrant for Watrous is $2,500, so... I'm going to be getting in.
Could make a totem out of it. But
yeah.
Be a little art piece.
Actually, not a bad idea. Paint
actually,
that thing, you know?
Yeah. We have a design contest.
Yeah.
But the minute he comes and asks about it, you know, I'll try to call him ahead of this. But we got the bill. They had to go over to Vancouver to pick up or to get the new hydrant because they didn't have them local, and they billed us with the sales tax too, so we're in the process of getting that.
So who's responsible for putting the back for filling behind it? Are they are. They need to.
They're contractor and they were supposed to do it.
Yeah.
You know, you can't leave it like this. I mean, it's stupid. So anyway, Timberland, we just sent them their. Well, they've got the final letter. I released the performance bond, and also we figured out all the costs and sent them a check that we owed them on how much they put down on the deposit.
Can we go back on Old Gate? Sorry, we threw that kind of fast. So sorry to go backwards, but Is our, what, how much is our deductive change order again against their?
Oh, you mean the canal,
the electrical upgrade? Yeah.
I have to go. Wait a minute.
Well, they say we owe them $25,000 or $24,000, right. And we have a deductive change order of something less than that or more than that.
Oh yeah, less than that. It's not that much. It was whatever what cost to. To have Jim or Greg do the O&M manuals or redo them.
Do we have legal expense in there as well?
We have some, but we also have the liquidated damages.
Yeah, so we have
that's not what, you know.
That's what, yeah, that covers them.
Jim didn't put that stuff in there because, of course, he doesn't really want to, you know, go there. But, it was for the test results, paperwork and circuit breaker settings, the district keys. Well, and that wasn't even added to the amount, but Jim's deductive is for notice, let's see, for us performing the electrical coordination study and determined circuit breaker settings based on the coordination study report findings, and that would have been Greg. Rekeying the cylinders, which was us, and revising the O&M manuals, and that amount was $4,733.60. So the modified contract amount was $79,840.
Did the $4,700 include liquidated damages?
Nope.
Or is that, so what are the LDs then on top of that?
I don't know. I mean, we have to go. Jim didn't put it in here, and he says, you know, send it on to your attorney and see what he thinks about the liquidated damages. I have not been able to get a hold of it.
Why should, it's in the contract. I don't think we need our attorney to interpret it.
I don't think we need it either.
It's a stated as a number of days in the contract. How late were they? We do the math. It's not a...
And they agreed, Jim and them agreed on a final date, even with all the extra days in between that we hadn't put in there. So there should be an amount, and then up to October 13th, that's when we gave them as a cutoff date that we were going to take over and finish it. So, yeah, it should be in there.
Well we're going to have to figure that out fairly quickly, because other, could they have lien rights?
Probably, I don't know.
We got to pay them, right? We got to do the math, subtract the fourth set of $4,700 plus the liquidated damages from $24,000 and pay on the balance.
Yeah.
So,
I'll get back with Jim.
Okay.
I'm going to try the attorney again and everything.
But I have a feeling we're going to go to court over this one.
So?
Mm-hmm. That's why we need to get our math and get it tight. And, you know, I suppose we can ask our attorney on the liquidated damages, but I don't think there's a reason to. It's really simple. It's days times the liquidated damages amount in the contract. They're going to dispute the days, but if we have good documentation as to that's how we calculate those days, then it's just a math problem, right? It's really easy, because the liquidated damages are stated expressly in the contract, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a done deal. And they're going to argue the days, but...
Okay, I'll get on.
I mean, it'd be nice if it was, you know, for about... $25,000 total.
I don't think it's $25,000, but it's a good sum.
Why does $17,000 stick in my head?
Yeah, we had,
I don't know where that number came from.
Yeah, that sounds...
But that's what I remember.
Yeah, something like that. I think we were looking at liquidated damages last time Jim was here.
I don't know.
Is Murray Smith... Are they not being... as cooperative and accommodating as they had been, or are they still fine?
When Jim's in, he doesn't work all, you know, he probably works 2 or 3 days a week. So I get a response back from him right away when I'm out of him, so.
Well, to protect ourselves, it might, and have another pocket to bring if we do upend it in court, we might want Jim to calculate the days and liquidate the damages for us.
Yeah, get it on his station.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we need that quickly. Okay. Otherwise, they'll lean the project. Okay. Okay, sorry, I didn't mean to. I wanted to.
Important.
Yeah. All right, I think I cut you off on usage and deposits on the district report, second page.
Okay. Well, we got the billing, the 10th out, the December 10th billing. It's being printed and probably be out first of the week. On the deposits, we have moved all the money with the exception of what is actually shows how many deposits we have at $50 a piece, and the only thing that's going to come over on that is interest, and then we'll move that monthly too, so we just keep the right amount in there. We had interest from Bank of America, which was 20 years ago, still in there, and it says in the contract the customer signed with us that the interest stays with us, so I thought there's no reason to keep it filling up in that account.
Yeah. Makes sense.
That's fine.
If a customer asked us to calculate that amount of interest earned on their deposit, could we calculate that?
And yeah, I'm sure we could get kind of an average. And, you know, $50 at a couple years at 1%.
I mean, but if their deposit agreement says that we keep the interest, then they're not entitled to it, but they might want to ask and try to make a stink about it.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, anything else in the district report or questions?
No. That's it on my end.
Okay, so let's move on to tab 6. Financial report. Ilya, what do you have for us? I'm sorry.
Oh, goodness. All right, this is my very first month trying to do billing all by myself.
Good work.
No, not good work. I tried to do it and the board reports at the exact same time, and that's why it's not complete. So I apologize.
Okay.
So, that is my fault. But, billing was exciting to do all by myself. Sort of.
Are you not? I don't see you running away.
No, I'm not. I'm not running away. It's just not as neat and tidy as it was on enough because I put more time into the board meeting.
Yeah.
Reports versus trying to do both big things at once. So, it is not complete, and I will have. If y'all meet again, if y'all are meeting again, then I'll have the rest of it. But if not, then I will. The rest of it in our next board meeting. Have the whole thing.
I'd like to see it when it's done.
Yes. Now,
when I do feed it
to you, would you like me to
bring
on a computer
and
do it or just
pieces? The pieces that are missing, just put it in my box. Let me know
that
they're there.
When I can do that, yes. So I was able to get out everything.
Okay. Wait, we had a Christmas party?
No, not here.
Oh, okay.
Okay. When Brian and I went there, we were in the elevator, and they had a couple people in there that had the baskets that were for the raffles and stuff. And I saw the chocolate basket, and I was so excited when I won that basket. I didn't win it, But the gal who did, I went and told her I liked the cheese popcorn. She gave it to me.
There you go.
Really?
You don't ask, you don't get.
That's
the way it goes. Okay, so...
I will say, I need to say something, because we also did shutoffs and billing. And Brian was gone, but now I'm going to have to do the shutoffs and stuff. And we had one that was kind of unusual. It was on Eden's Edge, not one that we use as a shutoff. And first of all, the lady called and said she was having really weird noises with her water, and then she noticed she didn't have any water, and I had to say, well, that's because we shut you off on the payment. Anyway, she started in on me and da-da-da-da-da, and anyway, I turned it to Ely, and I said, I'll let you talk to finance person. Well, before the time was over, Ely had her settled down. She gets off the phone and she goes, well, I've never had anybody cuss at me over the phone before. And I go, good luck.
I've never done that.
Welcome to government.
Anyway, that lady actually, after it was all said and done, she called back and apologized to me. I've never seen.
Wait, so the customer cussed it?
At Ely. Yeah.
We need to sign the front page, too, for somebody does.
Okay. Wow.
You could tell that during her conversation when she was going at it, and I'm just sitting there holding the phone. Go ahead.
There's nothing else you can do.
Something else going on. And she started crying. Her son was doing that hospital, having a plate break in his ankle because he broke his ankle. She got home and somebody had left the freezer open and there was water. You know, it was just kind of built.
Yeah.
So by the time she was done, we were laughing. And I'm like, I have you on speed dial for like, I'm having a bad day. And she said, absolutely.
What was resolved? Did she pay her bill? Okay. Was it just an oversight or something?
She said that her neighbor was getting the mail. I don't know because...
Okay.
But she paid the attention that day.
Did you encourage her to sign up for AutoPay?
I did. But she registered online, and so I walked the whole process with her. Walked the whole thing through on the phone so she could get signed up, registered, if she wanted to do that.
Good.
So we did that, and she paid out.
Well, thank you. So you're the angry customer department.
Good job.
Okay. So I guess we'll see the rest of the documents in the museum all now or something. We have to.
The amount I got from Jim's last letter is 123 days because he said he figured out 113. It was done on October 3rd and we gave him until October 13th. So it should be 12,300 plus the 4,000. Whatever I said,
47 something.
Yeah, it's 47. But yeah, ballpark. Yeah, they. That's substantially less.
17,000.
Yeah. So we're gonna.
It's a good Christmas party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So 17,000 plus 4,700, basically 21 or 22, somewhere in that range. So we're not gonna owe them a whole lot. But I think we should do the math and write them a check.
I think so, too.
Yeah, send them the check right with
them. Send them the check. Give them the calculation. Thank you for your final bill. After our deductive change order, here's where we are. And here's your final payment.
And write them a check on it.
Yeah.
That does not hold.
It does. But.
Nice try, but, yeah.
Even France,
your buddy.
I remember.
I think you need to unleash Ely on a Fran. They could just be buddies. They can just talk about sprinkler systems and our Fran. Ely and Fran ought to just—they can go out for coffee every morning.
I'd love to see her take care of Fran.
Would be perfect.
Nobody. She won't. She won't talk to us, so she won't email us. So, but she's. That's why I have to tell her every time. Because Fran is being like a little champ, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, she's what she's required.
So yeah, I think I need to sign the front paper.
Make sure she's not on the getting a late fee on the shuttle.
So, okay. So that is the financial report. Any other questions for Ilya while we have her? Well, send us the other reports when you can. So do we have a motion to approve the financials?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve the financials. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay, so how about paying the bills? I guess we have to do that.
I'll move to pay the bills.
I'd second that.
Moved and seconded to pay the bills. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay. You want to move on to the... is the audit report part of this?
Yeah. It's about time. Let me go ahead and call them.
Yeah.
I'm just going to put them on my speaker. That's all right.
Yeah, go ahead. Just FYI, Principal Engineer 5 is $203 for Murray Smith. Professional Engineer 5 is $148. And then Professional Engineer 3 is $135. Just according to their bill.
Dennis Cosmos, this is Steve.
Hey, Steve, is Dennis there?
He's not in yet. I wouldn't expect him to be in until probably 9:30 or so.
Well, he's supposed to talk to us at River Grove Water District on our audit.
Oh, that's cool.
Does he have a cell phone?
I'll try to get him at his home number. He's and see if I can rock him out.
Okay, have him call this number then.
Yeah, I better write it down. I can't see it on the phone here. Okay, go ahead.
It's
503-310-5939.
5939? Yep.
310-5939.
Okay,
I'll see if I can get
a
hold of
him
and get back to you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, bye.
Bye.
Well. Okay. Well.
What else do we have? Anything?
I think that's it. Well, let's go through the last one. So any other commissioner staff comments? No. How about a volunteer to sign checks?
I can sign checks.
We have one. Excellent.
And when do we have to get it? Would it be Monday morning or Friday morning or what?
This is a helpful.
Either one is fine.
Or after
football? No, after football.
That's good.
So
yeah. That guy does good stuff, though.
Yeah, he really does.
So hit me, yeah, just hit me in the morning.
That sounded classic tonight.
You could smell this place before you could see it.
Oh, yeah, really? Please take him. That's what he sent me, this audit. Because they're down to classic tonight.
Cool. Where are we going? I drove through Kleskine the other day.
His mint patties are even better.
Yes, they are. I have a bunch of them at home.
Okay. So, any other non-agenda items? Consensus for the January meeting will be... what's the date in January?
January 22nd, our insurance guy is going to come.
20.
Our renewal.
January 22nd. Yes.
Which we'll already have renewed by then.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
I tried to get
it.
It's usually something you do beforehand, so you can.
We should be getting a new water customer next door, though. They haven't already applied for it, but.
I think they have, but they're tearing that down.
They're tearing. Yeah. There's no saving that house. I went in with them to see if I salvage a window or something in the garage. That house was... I'm surprised it's still standing.
There's a new 5-lot subdivision coming. Excuse me. On 65th.
Yeah, that's the one now. That's a scary
Gary Nelson.
Do we know who's actually developing it?
I've got the information at home, but I don't.
Well, I saw that. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure who it listed, but it listed
They're going to going to do a public meeting with the CPO, but I don't know if they're going to do it in January or February. It's kind of reached the point where there's nothing to say. City doesn't seem to want to make any big moves. They're just going to let it continue to drift. And in 457 years, we'll all be annexed. Seriously,
that's
that
what
was
it says
the number.
In the report.
Yeah.
How many years?
457.
If it goes at the pace it's going now, yep. You know, property by property.
Your phone.
Excellent. Yeah, somebody's ringing. Hello.
It sounds like
Dennis?
Maybe yeah, it's yeah. Coming into the day.
Oh, Steve? About 15 minutes, okay. We're not sure we'll have anybody left here.
Not me.
I'm taking off, yeah. I got another meeting up like that then.
If anybody's... He must have. Okay.
I read the report. It was good.
Yeah.
Okay.
I read it last night again, and it was like...
Still
yeah, I know. I read it last night. Because I hate reading this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But it was actually not that. He did a good job. It's
he's
not
straightforward.
Yeah, he's very straightforward. That's why I appreciate it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So
are we just going to talk through it, or any other comments that of commissioners on having read it?
Pretty straightforward.
Yep. Yeah.
Does anybody have a burning question for Dennis?
Nope.
So we are still significantly deficient. But
that's permanent.
Yeah.
I mean, we're never going to change that
until
we hire another staff person.
The
only thing that I would have added or asked him if we had time, and it's not really that important. In his letter at the end, he says, the last sentence on the second paragraph, however, providing an opinion on compliance with those provisions was not an objective of our audit, and accordingly, I did not express such an opinion. I don't know where the objectives of his audit were determined. Did we tell him what the objectives were, or did he just decide what his objectives were? And should we care? Should we sit down with our auditor at the front end and say, or maybe we did in our phone call. He called in beforehand.
Well, let's ask him that question.
Yeah.
How are your other clients? So?
Which page now?
Page 22, and it's the last sentence in the second paragraph. And, you know, it's not a big deal. It just says it was not an objective of our audit. And so if he has objectives, it'd be nice to know what they are before he starts the audit. And it'd be nice for us to kind of agree on the objectives.
Probably something that we signed.
Probably.
In all the paperwork.
Probably just kind of a standard comment.
And he could have said that's the objectives of the contractor.
Yeah. So anyway, it's not a big deal. That doesn't change what he's saying in any way. I'd just be curious how we form objectives and what they are.
This is the other guy. It'd be interesting to see if the objectives are listed out in the ORS.
Yeah, they might. They might be.
I would bet they are.
Oh yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. Anyway, it's a minor question.
I have statute, I just reference it. But
yeah.
We got essentially the same type of information, statements, and reference because we have such a small office. And we dealt with that with, Rogers, and all of this to me is a statement inferring, and they, for their own legal protection.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, but it also says we're up to snuff.
Yeah, that's
what we hire him for.
That's important.
That's the important so, yeah, and the rest of it's kind of covering his.
The ratepayers need to know that. And
yeah, so it's fine.
I know that we're not throwing lavish parties and
flying to Tahiti. Okay.
All right.
I think let's adjourn the meeting at 8. Wow, look at that. Almost exactly an hour. 8:33.
Good job.
DJ, I brought these all back because sometimes certain things we're not supposed, you know, we're supposed to, that I've been involved with RFPs and stuff, we're supposed to turn them back. So there they are.
Oh. I didn't turn them. I'm keeping mine.
The question.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know how long.
After we, did you want to move the meeting to the room?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. That was a good non-agenda. We had a great meeting room over in the new
building. That is a great meeting room.
Yeah.
It's a public meeting, a public building. If we can do our meetings over there, there's a lot more space. And yeah, they're nice. It's clean and comfortable, and it's just you walk right in the door, and it's to your right, and it's right there.
The only downside of that is if we need something, then we're not here to get it. But that doesn't come up that often, so I can live with that. Mm-hmm. You know, you need to go to a file. We have a question.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
we're.
Yeah.
Well, what do you guys think? Would you rather have it here, or would you?
Yeah, no, I say we go for it. That's the only downside, and it doesn't come up that often.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's. It's got parking over there. I mean, you could park here and walk too, either way.
Yeah.
It's a quick walk.
Yeah. CPO is going to meet there for 3 months.
Peter's got this thing about not meeting, you know, not being in the middle of the neighborhood. I'd rather meet there all the time.
We don't have that option because
they're
moving out of the Palisades building. So they're going to do classes over there. So we have January, February, March. And then after that, at night, no possibility.
What happens to Palisades?
I don't know.
But do they sell it?
Yeah. Probably. Because that's...
School district, houses, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That was
my
an institution up there.
It is, and it's a great property in terms of just recreation, too.
Yeah.
In fact, if I was the neighbors up there, I'd be